Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Howdy, 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 everybody, and welcome to the Left of Straight Show. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. I am your host, Scott Fullerton. It is Tuesday, April 4th. Actually, that's when we're broadcasting this, is Tuesday, April 4th. As those of you that know, that follow me around, I am in Los Angeles right now, so I am pre-taping this on Friday, March 31st. But welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, April 4th. While you're listening to this, I hope you're all doing well, had a great weekend. I'm going to do a pre-tape interview today with a great group of ladies who are putting out a play that's opening while I'm in LA. I'm probably going to see it while I'm out there. The play is called The Lady Was a Gentleman. It's a historical lesbian play, and it's going to be kind of cool stuff. So we're going to have the author of the play, the director, the cast, the theater company people all coming on in just a couple of minutes. So I'm excited for that. So stay tuned for that. That'll be our only guest on today. It'll be an hour-long show today. And right now, it is Tuesday. That means that I am rolling into the Los Angeles train station this morning at 8 in the morning is when we're supposed to get in. You will know if you follow me on social media, and I hope you do, on Twitter and Instagram, at Left of Straight. That's LeftOfStr and the number 8. Or on Facebook, you can follow me at Left of Straight Show page or Scott Fullerton, my personal page. Just throw a friend request out there. But you will know if I made it in, when we're scheduled to come in at 8 o'clock, and what our first day is shaping up to be in the first few hours there, because of the time difference. When you're listening to this, it'll be 2 o'clock our time, so I should have been in town for about 6 hours. So it's gonna be a lot of fun tonight. I will be going on Tuesday night. I'll be going to Alexander's radio show taping over for On the Rocks Radio at UBN Studios. So that'll be a lot of fun. I'm gonna take Alexander out to dinner tonight. Then this week I have the TMC. Tomorrow my brother's coming into town, Ventura County Sheriff. He's going to come in, and Mom and I are going to hang out, spend the day with him and his girlfriend, and go to dinner and goof around. Then Thursday, Friday, Saturday is our movie festival we're going to, the Turner Movie Classics Music Festival at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel and Grohman's Chinese Theater. Lots of celebrities. You'll be seeing lots of pictures and some live videos from there. Then Sunday, I'm having my thank you party to all the celebrities and persons of interest that have been on my show over the past couple of years that are in the LA area. We're going to be having a fun little shindig in West Hollywood at Mickey's. Big shout out to my sponsors for that, Mickey's LA. Of course, Alexander Rodriguez from On the Rocks Radio, CBT Candle Company, GED Magazine, London Revolution, all sorts of great people helping my party come together out there. Going to be a lot of fun on Sunday. And then Monday, we go to Universal Studios. I'm going to Harry Potter World. I'm excited about that. So lots of fun stuff going on. A couple things in the news right now that is old hat as we air this about 5 days from now, but things I was excited about. I'm going to be looking. There is a new Grace and Frankie billboard in LA. If you're not watching Grace and Frankie on Netflix and you have Netflix, you got to binge watch this show. It's with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, of course. They play divorcees of their husbands were business partners, and they were married, and they ran away together as a homosexual couple, as a gay couple. So they left their wives, Lily and Jane, behind, and it's been a hilarious third episode premiering now. And in this season, they have started their own dildo company. Yes, you heard me right, boys and girls, dildo company. And so there's this huge billboard up on Vine Avenue, right between Hollywood and Santa Monica Boulevard, on Vine Avenue, that shows Grace and Frankie, Jane and Lily, holding little dildos up, and it's making people stop and gawk everywhere. So I will take a picture of that when I get in town, hopefully today or sometime this week. And another thing I want to talk about, we can talk about pride parades during the protest parades. New York City announced today that they are going to put all of their protest groups to the front of the parade. So it's like LA, where it's going to be a protest parade as well as a little festival parade. But they're bringing their activism right up front at the very beginning of the parade. So I think that's very cool. And, yesterday, Walking Dead actor Daniel Newman came out in a terrific video. If you've not seen this video, look it up. Daniel Newman, N-E-W-M-A-N. He's an actor on The Walking Dead. He's been a Twitter follower for a while. I didn't know I could message him, so I actually messaged him today when I read the story and thanked him for this video. It's amazing. 6-minute long video talking about why we need visible. He says it so elegantly. Take time to find that video and watch. I know it's on queerity.com. And hopefully I'll get him on the show sometime soon. It's going to be crazy time for him for a while, trying to go on all sorts of people want him on their shows, I'm sure. But since we have been friends for a while on Twitter, I can send him a direct message, and hopefully that will happen. But guys, I'm going to get ready now. I'm going to have our girls calling in just a couple moments from The Lady Was a Gentleman. So I'm going to play a little Annie Baltic's Low Key. And when I come back, we will have the cast and the crew of The Lady Was a Gentleman coming right here on the Left of Straight Show. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
Walking down the street on Sunset Boulevard. Keep this little thing on the down low. I don't know where to go, but I want you to know that you'll always be mine. Come on, raise your hand and turn up the sound. The music turned up high and I'm gonna dance. Got you all in my sight.
All right, we are back. That was Annie Baltic with Low Key. Guys, this is going to be a great show. You know, I fell in love with the cast and crew of Long John Silver at the Loft Theater in L.A. a couple weeks back. They extended through this past weekend even, and I'm so excited to bring on a new group. Of course, we had Danielle Ozymandias with us back then. She was then directing the group. This time, she's coming on as artistic director of Broad's World Ensemble. Their next production, The Lady Was a Gentleman, is set to premiere this weekend in the Dory Theater of the Complex Stages. So it's going to be a great time. Please welcome to the show Danielle Ozymandias, Barbara Kahn, Kate Motzenbacher, and Tara Donovan. Ladies, how you doing?
I'm good. Fine.
Happy to be here.
Yay, we have a chorus there. I love it. We all have to auto-tune. We'll sing a song here before it's done. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to talk about this show. I want to start with Danielle. Welcome back. This is so exciting for you. Now, this is theater, where you're the artistic director here. So tell me about your theater company a little bit, and what is your theater company about? What are you dedicated to?
Broad's Word Ensemble is it's an all-female theater company dedicated to theater by and about women for everybody. So we tell stories on stage that are about women, generally written by women, that feature women, that everybody will enjoy.
That is so awesome. How long have you guys been around?
Just a couple of years. We're very new and very full of energy and passion.
Is so cool. And what was it about this piece? Did you find this piece on your own, or was it brought to you? Or talk to me about the story.
I think I should let Tara answer that. She brought us the script, so she deserves credit.
There you go, Miss Producer and Actress Tara. Tell us about this. Where'd you find this?
Well, after we did our first production, we did an all-female version of Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew. We started looking out and seeing what other scripts were out there. I put out a call for scripts online, looking for female playwrights who'd written scripts with at least 50% female characters, which is an amazing feat. A lot of women don't even write women into their plays, which I was shocked by. But Barbara was one of the playwrights who did submit to me, and something I just off the bat, not even read the play, it caught my eye that she had this little bit about, her plays are about lesbians in history, and it's not that they weren't there. They've just sort of been written out of history. And I started reading the play, and I was like, it was just this really funny, beautiful comedy that just happens to be about a bunch of lesbians. It wasn't
nice.
Didn't feel like, hitting you over the head with it. It was just a truly great story. And to be able to tell a story that most people don't know, that is in part historically accurate, it is about a real person that existed, is kind of a nice bonus on top of being a great play. So I pitched it to our group. But having just done an all-female Taming of the Shrew and being a brand new company, we didn't want to necessarily be dubbed the lesbian theater company because we tell all women's stories. So we decided to table it, and we were like, we're going to keep this and we're going to find a place for it. And this year is our third year producing, and we've done a couple of other things since our all-female Taming of the Shrew, and just felt like it was a really good time to put it back in the lineup. And so I've been pushing to get it up, and now it's coming up.
That is awesome. I'm so excited for you. And Barbara, this is just amazing. And they say Barbara's one of the ones that submitted this. I mean, you've won the Torch of Hope Lifetime Achievement Award that Terrence McNally, August Wilson, Tony Randall have won. Congratulations on premiering this over in the West Coast. Is this the first time it's been on the West Coast?
This particular play, but some of my plays have been to places I've yet to visit. So
well,
I'm very happy for my plays, but one of these days I'd love to make it to California.
Oh, you got to. But, yeah, you've had your plays produced everywhere from Germany, Paris, Boston, New York, San Diego, and now L.A. You got to get out to L.A. I mean, you and I both need the sunshine, I'm telling you.
I know. It's raining terribly here in New York today.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. Talk about what's your interest in these historical lesbian novels, and you hit – from what I read, you kind of get really into this. And for the story about Charlotte Cushman, you actually had some of her notes she had at one time or something. Talk about how this play came about.
Well, I primarily write historical plays, an occasional contemporary comedy just as a chaser. But they're not documentaries in the sense that I'm not an academic, I'm not a historian, but I try to be as accurate as possible. So any factual information in my plays is more than likely correct. I do a lot of research. This play came about because of a play by a good friend of mine, Carolyn Gage, who's a playwright based in Maine, who wrote a play about Charlotte Cushman, who was incredibly famous in the 19th century, both in the U.S. and in London. And Carolyn's play was about Charlotte at the end of her life, at the end of this amazing career that she had. And I became fascinated with this character, and I thought, well, what led up to that? And I started to explore. And despite all the technology, a lot of the research that I have to do is not online. So I spent hours at the New York Public Library in their rare book and collections divisions where you have to put on white gloves and can only bring in a pencil, not a pen. And I read through letters and, you know, other documents and so on about the life of Charlotte Cushman and the other women in her life, and did that kind of exploration. There's also the Players Club Library here in New York. The Players Club was founded by Edwin Booth at the end of the 19th century, and the library has an, just an extraordinary collection of primary source material. And a librarian, Ray Wemlinger, who's a walking encyclopedia of theater history in America. So I often consulted him. And after that, I just kind of pulled the characters from Charlotte's life, and then I added characters that were fictionalized, but they're based on like composites of people who were in St. Louis in 1855. So that's gotcha. A little bit about my process.
Wow, that is fantastic. And then I remember you told me, Danielle, earlier when we were talking about this play earlier, that a lot of lesbian plays you've seen come across are kind of a little dour, actually. This had a lot of fun to it. Is that kind of what helped draw you guys to the project?
Well, it for me, the entire story drew me, that it's just beautiful and it's wonderful. But in particular, it's a comedy and it's everybody wins. And I think quite often that lesbian stories are sad, or like society has said that we have to say, well, you know, they're not mainstream, so they don't get everything the way that a straight story, everybody gets everything. And I think winning and saying that all people from all experiences get all experiences is important. And I think normalizing all experiences is important.
Fantastic. And then we have Kate Motzenbacher. Kate, I mean, you've been in so many great things. You're the resident director of Down Repertory Theater Company. You've been had shows Hollywood Fringe Festival and Son of Samus Creation Festival. What brought you to this project? How did you become attached?
Hey, I actually found out about it on Twitter. They were putting a call out for queer women directors, and not knowing anything about the project, I shot over an email, and then I found out it was a queer history project, and queer history is my jam. So
nice.
That's how I ended up here.
There you go. I love your Twitter feed, by the way. I have to say, your Twitter feed, you like directing, sex ed, and nerding. That's like my favorite profile of all time, I have to tell you. And we're going to have an entire another show about you coming back, talking about your sex education with pleasure chest, because I don't even want to talk about that now, but that's pretty exciting to me all of a sudden. So talk to me, what was the what kind of challenges did you find in the play, or what was fun about directing this play?
It's so much fun to work on just a straight-up comedy. I do a lot of devised work, which is stuff that's kind of written and created in rehearsal. I've definitely worked on more drama or kind of bone dry comedy. And this is farce and it's fun and it's a confection and I laughed so much in the rehearsal process. I think the genre is also part of the challenge. That it's keeping that energy up and keeping that lightness and driving that through even while still without losing the fact that these are real human beings with real feelings and real challenges. That they're not cartoons, but they are big and silly.
And then, Terry, you're not only producing it, you're actually acting in the play. What is your part? Tell me a little bit about your part, and how fun was it to play?
I play Deirdre Ryan, who is an actress starring opposite of Charlotte Cushman. I am the Juliet to her Romeo. And for me, I really loved this part. I mean, all the characters are fantastic in the show, but I had a special place in my heart for Deirdre because I wanted the challenge of not just being able to play a play within a play, but it's a period actor playing this role. So how would she do it in relation to the period she lives in versus the very, very modern way that we do Romeo and Juliet today? Also, I felt like there was just a lot of being a farce. I just felt like there was a lot of opportunity to go kind of that stereotypical actress, very dramatic, in her feelings and her emotions, and yeah, she's just a blast to play. I have a really good time with her.
Nice, I love it.
I'll leave it for listeners to come see it to really appreciate the
there you
full
go.
Force of Deirdre's angst and candy eating.
And Danielle, you got to do the costumes for this. How fun is it to costume a period piece? Where'd you find your inspiration, and where were you shopping through the streets of LA to find these things?
Doing period pieces is I love it. I love costuming period things. It's also, of course, very challenging. We happen to have incredible, wonderful friends who have loaned us the bulk of the costumes. We've been just incredibly lucky. Tara is the managing director at a Little Fish Theater in San Pedro, and they loaned us several costumes from their Shakespeare by the Sea collection because they do a big tour Shakespeare productions all summer long, and we're finishing before they start so we could borrow some things. And then we have a very good friend. Her name is Linda Muggeridge, and she does so much costuming in L.A., and she just opened up her doors to her costume storage and said, "What do you need?" And we literally couldn't have done it without that help.
Nice. I love hearing that.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. Guys, I'm so excited. We're talking to the creators and the actors here with the fantastic new show. It's debuting this Saturday. It's West Coast debut, The Lady Was a Gentleman. We're talking to Barbara, the author, Danielle, Kate, Tara. We're going to play a quick song by David Hernandez, Beautiful. When we come back, we'll have more discussion with these lovely ladies about this fantastic new play premiering at the Dory Theater this Saturday in Hollywood. Listen to Left and Straight Show. We'll be right back.
This father in the sky, and they start into a line. I see you passing by, and we're slowing down the sky. Now my love is flashing by, all I see is flashing lights. Cause you're right here by my side, can you feel it come alive? If this were a love song, would you be mine? I just can't get you off of my mind, and I think about you all day and night. So I wrote you a love song, wrote you a love song. Baby, you're beautiful, I think you're beautiful. You're beautiful. make you beautiful. So damn incredible, so unforgettable. Yes, I think you're beautiful.
We are back. That is David Hernandez with Beautiful. Guys, we're talking to Danielle, Barbara, Kate, and Tara, the lovely ladies of The Lady Was a Gentleman, a premiere play for the West Coast by author Barbara Kahn. And Barbara, I want to go back to you. Now, we talked about this is actually, it's a funny play, laugh out loud play, but there's actually some serious things that went on in Charlotte's life. Can you talk a little bit about that? What was going on at the time?
Yeah, I think some of us today think that progress is on a continuum, but I think we're learning very quickly since November that that's not necessarily true. And if we go back to the play in 1855, Charlotte was in a relationship with sculptor Emma Stebbins, who actually designed the fountain, Bethesda Fountain in Central Park, which is a landmark of the city in New York.
Wow.
And she called Emma Stebbins my wife, and she did it publicly, and that was fine. When she did Romeo and Juliet in London, the issue was not about a woman playing Romeo with a woman playing Juliet. It was about Charlotte Cushman playing Romeo and her sister playing Juliet. And that became a big scandal, excuse me, and they had to publicize her sister's marriage license to prove that she was actually married, although I don't know quite what that connection was, but that's just a bit of trivia. The other issue is the play takes place pre-Civil War in St. Louis, and this was during a time of slavery. And Charlotte's assistant in real life was a woman named Sally Mercer, who was a freeborn black or African-American woman from Philadelphia who started working for Charlotte when she was 14. And they became very close. But going to St. Louis on this tour took some doing for an African-American in what was then a slave state, or, you know, they had people called slave catchers that came from the South to kidnap blacks to bring them back into slavery, so that
wow.
Free blacks had to have certificates. And there are things like that that I wanted to be sure to incorporate in the play itself, even though, you know, the overall style, I mean, I call it a docu-comedy. But it has some issues in there as well that I want to mention, you know, and I've tried to make them part of their lives as much as they're part of the play. So the play
nice.
is not about, you know, the perils of slavery or anything, but it's about a personal story of somebody who's endangered just by setting foot in the state of Missouri in 1855.
Wow.
So I just wanted to bring up some of those issues as well. But
yeah, I appreciate
that.
And I want to ask you and Kate both, because one of the things you don't – there's a lot of LGBT history out there, but it seems to be kind of cherry-picked. You get a lot of the gay history, the transgender movement's kind of being thumbed out, the lesbian movement. It's kind of been pushed a little bit to the back front, like bisexuals have always been pushed back. But talk – I want Kate and Barbara, talk about that a little bit. I was surprised. I mean, as a gay man, I try to keep my – pulse on everything with this radio show. But until I saw that When We Rise documentary on ABC, I didn't realize how much the lesbian movement had to do with so much happening when the AIDS crisis was happening. Mm-hmm. Ladies really stepped up and took over and helped kind of move the movement along quite a bit in that time period. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know the ages of the other women on the phone right now, but yeah, I was certainly around at that time period, and yeah, I mean there was a vacuum created when gay men were sick and dying and needed people to hold their hands, to take care of them, to wash them, do things that early in the epidemic that medical personnel often were not willing to do. You know, that we're afraid of doing it. So that, you know, that some of that history has kind of been not ignored, but not given maybe the consideration that it should. And unfortunately, I think in the LGBT community as well as in the in any community, there are gender issues, and women often are not allowed the credit or the forefront that they deserve. And I think that's true for the lesbians in the LGBT community. I mean, I can speak to it here in New York City. You know, you mentioned the award that I got, the same award that Terrence McNally and August Wilson and John Guare and A.R. Gurney got. They've all been on Broadway. Guess what? This year is the first season on Broadway for two amazing women dramatists, Lynn Nottage and Paula Vogel. It took them that many years.
I posted that story on Broadsword's Facebook page because I was shocked by that too. Shocked.
Yeah. Yeah. And even within our community media, getting coverage is an uphill battle. I've been doing productions of plays for 23 years now at Theater for the New City, which is a legendary theater here in New York City, and every year trying to get coverage in our community media is just, it's so discouraging. It doesn't stop me from doing my work. It doesn't stop me from having a following just because of my longevity here, and people, you know, I seem to like my work because they come back year after year and they bring their friends, and the
right.
theater itself has a large following. But, you know, it's discouraging, it's disappointing, and I have to remind myself sometimes that it's not personal.
Exactly. And Kate, you said this is historical lesbian is your jam. How hard is it for you to find good stories for that, though? Are you able to, are they readily available? Are you on a treasure hunt half the time? Or talk about how you're coming across these stories.
Well, my last couple of projects, I guess at least my last couple of kind of passion projects that I spearheaded have been adaptations of modernist novels by queer women that mostly don't get read anymore. And I think I don't feel like it's hard to come across those things, but I think I also, you know, run with circles of people who look for them. So I get
right.
recommendations, and I know people who discuss them. And I think if I was just going off of kind of what I learned in school, it would feel very difficult, and I wouldn't know kind of where to look. But I have resources in my friends.
Gotcha.
And you have one here
and
in New York.
Yeah.
No, I know there are a number of lesbian playwrights here in New York who do fabulous work that I can put in touch with you.
That would be wonderful. Thank you.
And then Tara and Danielle, as producers and artistic directors, Barbara was saying, it's women in general. I mean, what about we just out about Women in Space of the NASA program through this latest movie. How exciting is it for you to find little gems like this that maybe people don't hear about? She said a lot of women's history is kind of to the side a bit.
Well, the first time we read the script, we just loved it for all of those things. And Barbara's just an incredible author. She's a lot of what we get are submissions are usually from much younger writers who don't have as much experience, and quite often the scripts aren't as ready to stage. So it's finding the good ones is always amazing and celebratory. And like, I think each of us read it and was like, oh my gosh, we have to do this. We have to do this. And so rarely do we get the entire group of us going, this has to happen.
You can't see me, but Barbara's blushing.
Oh. It's such a pleasure. It is such a pleasure to read your work, and it's an absolute honor to get to stage it. I cannot tell you. We are the lucky ones.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you. And I think
for me,
please.
I think for me, one of the things that I always look for in a script when we're picking stuff for broads is that part of our sort of mission, it's theater by women, about women, but for everyone, is the story relatable? If a guy came in and saw it, would he enjoy it? And, you know, and I really think that is one of the things about this is that, you know, it's a romantic comedy. It is lesbians. But anyone can walk in and be like, oh, yeah, that's funny. Oh, yeah, that is a good point. Oh, yeah, that's a great love story. So I think it's not just directly related to what it is. I like to trick people into becoming more open-minded or more accepting of women's theater. And some of, you know, one of the other productions we did, actually, I think a friend, Robin Rice is a friend of Barbara's out in New York, and we did one of her plays about a year and a half ago, and it was a sort of no exit kind of concept with these four women. And one of the things that we loved about that was, well, this could be anybody's story, but she chose to make them women, where so often in entertainment, you know, TV, film, everything, and the fight that women in entertainment are having is that can be a woman too. This can be a woman's story.
Right.
And so for me, that's what I always sort of look for is kind of just like, well, yes, this story is relatable to everyone. It just happens to be women, and maybe we'll teach them a little something without them realizing it.
Well, one of our founders of Broad's Word Ensemble, who's playing Charlotte Cushman, she said early on, she said, we're doing plays about the human experience. Turns out women are humans.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be a fancy tagline. Something like that is pretty simple to the point. I love that. Exactly. Very well said.
Could I add something? Some years ago, I wrote book and lyrics for a musical about lesbian pirates in 1722. And we did a production, of course, at Theater for the New City, where I premiere all my work in New York. And a producer called me after the production, and he said, I can book this around the country for the next 2 years. And I was getting very excited. And then he said, but could you change the gender of one of the women?
Wow.
And I said, but they're real life people. He said, well, whatever. Couldn't you just change it? And I said, no, they're real life people.
Wow.
And he kept trying to. And finally, I said, well, you know, that's a different play. So maybe you need to find somebody else to write that play. But these are real-life people, you know, who lived in 1722, and it's their story. So that was some of what we've been up against.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very much male-dominated, and I speak from the bad side of the male spectrum here, that we do tend to go towards what we think of as our privileges as far as stories that relate to us and not thinking about things. So that's why I'm so glad we have such a strong theater company. And you guys, and of course, all theater companies are struggling, and we really need to see great works by women for women. Do you guys have a way that you could donate, even if you don't get to see this play? Do you guys have a way that they could help push these women's stories forward through your theater company?
Yes, our website is broadswordensemble.com, and then if you just do /donate, it'll take you right to a page where you can donate to our mission of bringing more women's stories to the stage. And it's all tax deductible. We are 501c3 sponsored through Fractured Atlas. So we are trying to always raise money to make more theater, more stories about women on stage.
Terrific. And then we're going to start up this Saturday is the big premiere on the 8th, right? Is it going to be Friday or Saturday? Saturday the 8th, right?
Saturday the 8th.
Mm-hmm. And there's going to be cocktails involved, I hear, which makes me want to go right away. talk
yes.
about what's happening for opening night here.
Opening night is only a couple bucks more than a regular night, but you will be served wine all evening. And then after the show, we'll have some appetizers and desserts with the cast and crew of the show for all the patrons that came that night. So it's a little more of a to-do than a regular night at the theater.
Terrific. And Kate, how long are you guys running for right now? Are you scheduled? Hopefully you'll get extended, of course. Like, I was so excited to see the pirate movie that you did, Kate, Long John Silver, extended through this past weekend. But what are you guys currently scheduled to run right now, Kate?
We are scheduled through, I'm going to say, April 29th. Please tell me I'm right.
Yes.
Good. I don't have my calendar directly in front of me, so I don't trust anything I say.
That is amazing. And tell everyone where the theater is at, Tara. Where are they going to find you guys?
We're at the Dory Theater at the Complex Stages in Hollywood. It's in Theater Row right on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Beautiful, beautiful. And Barbara, what are we writing now? Is anything currently in the works that you're working on?
Yeah. Every year, Theater for the New City does the Lower East Side Festival of the Arts. It's 3 days over Memorial Day weekend that it's free to the community, and we get thousands of people who come. And we have four theaters. We use two of them for simultaneous performances. There's a children's program during the day, block party, a lot of stuff. So, you know, visual arts, everything. And every year I write a short play, 15 to 20 minutes for the festival. And then after that, I take about a week off, and then I start deciding and working on my production for next season, which
fantastic.
Is still very
that
early in my brain.
Now, are you like all of us young kids and playing on social media? Do they have a place they can follow you on social media?
Me? Oh, yeah. It's an addiction. I used to smoke 3 packs a day. I gave that up a long time ago. And I thought, well, that was so easy giving that up. I'm not an addictive personality. But unfortunately, Facebook has proven me wrong.
There we go.
So
I am on Facebook. Terrific. All right. And one more time for me, Danielle, give me the where they can find the theater company and yourself, too, because you are always doing something interesting in and about L.A. So give out the theater's social and your own social for me, please.
Broadsword Ensemble, I don't know all of our handles. That's terrible. Facebook, Broadsword Ensemble. We're on Twitter, Broadsword Theater. Our Instagram is Broadsword Ensemble. Right now we're gearing up for our next show, which will be in the Hollywood Fringe, and we're doing a classical play by Margaret Cavendish called Love's Adventures. We're very excited about that.
Nice. Congratulations. And everybody can Google. As long as they know the name and just tell them what social media you're on, we can Google. We're good at that.
It's really
and
simple.
Kate,
also, it's Broad's Word, like Word, because it's ladies talking.
There you go. I love that. All right, Kate, give everyone your social media, even if you want your own theater company there. And then stay in the line, because we're going to book you to talk all about the Pleasure Chest and Sex Ed. I'm telling you this.
I'm actually at Fun Factory now, but I'm still in that industry. I'm on Twitter at Motzenbecker, which is impossible. It's Motzenbacker.
Nice. And Tara, yourself?
I'm on Twitter at Tara Donovan. I am on Instagram at Tara N. Donovan, and then I have a Facebook actor/producer fan page.
Nice. Well, ladies, thank you so much for taking your time out. Everyone, all my friends in LA, I'm going to be in LA. I am here this entire week, so be sure to come. You'll probably be able to see me Saturday night right at the Dory Theater at the Complex Stages. I'm so excited for you guys. Thanks for being on the show, and congratulations.
Thank you so much, Scott.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, stay on the line for me, ladies. I'm going to come back and finish the show up in just a couple of seconds. We're going to play out with a little bit of Damien Escobar, the amazing violinist with Fire to the Rain. You're listening to the Left of Straight Show. Alrighty, we are back. That is Damien Escobar with Fire to the Rain from Adele. Guys, this was a great show. Thank you so much to Barbara Kahn, Danielle Ozymandias, Kate Motzenbacher, and Tara Donovan. I hope you get a chance to see their play, The Lady Was a Gentleman, a lesbian circle farce out there in LA at the Dory Theater. I'm going to try to make it while I'm here in town. Should be a good time had by all. Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you ever miss any of our shows, please make sure you've downloaded our free app on your iPhone, your Android, your tablet. Just go to your app store, type in Left of Straight Radio. That's LeftOfStr, the number 8, radio. It's a free app to download. You'll never miss an episode of anything. Tomorrow, while I'm continuing my LA extravaganza, I'm probably going to do standing on my soapbox talking about the week in review, and I may have special guests, my mom and my brother, and maybe a celebrity or two, as we'll be broadcasting live, I think, from the Grove or from Warner Brothers Studios, and if we're very lucky, in Ellen DeGeneres's riffraff room. You never know. Thanks for being part of the show today, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks so much for being part of the Left of Straight family. Again, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Left of Straight, LeftOfStr, and the number 8 on Facebook. Add Left of Straight Show for our Facebook page and Scott Fullerton for my personal page. Be more than happy to friend anybody out there. And you guys have a great evening. Let's play out one more Damien Escobar song. This is Awaken. And we will see you next week, where we're going to have a couple more pre-tape shows while I'm on the train back going to Ohio. But we'll talk to you soon. Have a great night.